Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers, food lovers, and everyone in between. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 40. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast, episode 40. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm the food photographer and food blogger behind The Little Plantation and podcaster here at Eat, Capture, Share. Super delighted that you've tuned in for what is the very first episode of season 4. I had absolutely no intention whatsoever of recording season 4 anytime soon, and definitely not in March, definitely not this spring 2020. But of course, the world has gone topsy-turvy and everything has changed. And it is really interesting because when things like this happen and you have the opportunity to look inwardly, the first thing that came to me was I need to restart the podcast. Like, I felt that really strongly in my gut. And so listening to that, I really want to use this podcast during this whole quarantine, during this whole crazy phase that we're living in, to connect us, to bring us together, to give us a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging. And with that in mind, today's podcast episode I have entitled Quarantine Cooking. And what today's episode is about, it's about bringing people within the food and food photography space together for a virtual roundtable, a discussion about what they're experiencing, and particularly what they're experiencing where they live, but from the angle, from the perspective of looking at it through the lens of food. So this podcast episode isn't going to give you some deep theory on our political system, how rotten it is, and how this all happened because of that, or anything in terms of food politics, or we're not going to go there. That's not what this podcast is about. It is about people like you who are cooking and moving through this crisis through the means of food and sharing that. And what you hear, especially towards the end, is this realization that we're in this together, and that all the things, that emotional roller coaster that we're experiencing, be it that we are somewhere in the Far East, somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere in Africa and in the Americas, wherever it may be, we're all feeling the exact same thing at different times, in different ways, different intensity. But all this confusion, fear, hope, bewilderment, all of those emotions, we're all experiencing it. Now, I would love to tell you a little bit more about who I'm speaking to today, because it is a roundtable that is chock-a-block full with heartfelt creatives, heartfelt foodies, who I'd love to introduce you to. So the first person you'll hear from is Yoni. She's based in Taipei, Taiwan. She's a former food photography student of mine, part of the Eat, Capture, Share creative community. So those of you who participate in the challenge, you will have seen her entries. She also won Rising Star. That's what she did. She won Rising Star a few seasons ago. So many of you who are part of my community, you will know her. The other person we'll hear from is Sumata, my sister. She runs a vegan donut store in Madrid, which has been very, very hard hit by COVID-19. And Sumata was a guest in episode 2 of the podcast. So I will link to that interview in the show notes. So please do check that out. There's Caroline, who's based in Lyon, France, also a former food photography student of mine. She's a wine connoisseur and does wine tasting online. There's the wonderful Sylvia, a dear, dear friend of mine, who is originally from Italy. Her family is still in Italy, in the northern part. That's been particularly hard hit during this crisis. Sylvia lives here in the UK. She was also a guest on the Eat, Capture, Share podcast before. Again, I'll link to her interview. And then we have the lovely Abby, a listener of the podcast. Again, somebody who's part of the creative community. And she lives out in Phoenix, Arizona. So women from all over the globe, they all responded to a call I put out in my newsletter. So if you're not on the mailing list, get your butt on there. I will link to that opportunity to do that in the show notes. But I put a call out to hear from you. from people within the creative community to see if you would share your experience on the podcast. And they came forward and I coerced my sister to come and join as well. But if you want to be sure you don't miss out, join the mailing list. So if I put out a call again, you can join us. I'd love to hear from you. And please, please, please do sign up. It would mean so much to me, especially now during these very, very precarious times. Right, I'm not going to ramble on too long. Just a few notes to say that anything and everything mentioned in the podcast, I will create a link to those resources in the show notes, as well as everybody who's a guest at the roundtable today. I will also give you the opportunity to sign on to the mailing list on the notes, on the show notes, so that you can do that and be sure that you're stay up to date. And the very last thing is the best way to support me as a creative in this time is by subscribing to the podcast and by sharing it with one person who you know will love it. That will mean so, so much to me and will give me the strength and energy to keep going with a podcast. It costs me money to run the podcast. It costs me money to send out the newsletter. And I do it with so much joy. But if there is an opportunity for you to share what I do, that would mean so, so much and would be incredibly helpful at this time. Right. Now I'd love you to grab yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, grab yourself a seat and come and join us at our round table discussion entitled Quarantine Cooking. Girls, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. Super excited that you've agreed to join me for this round table quarantine cooking special podcast episode. I know who you are because we've chatted already, but lots of people here tuning in don't know who I'm speaking to. So I'd love to start with introductions. Yoni, I don't know if you want to start off.
Sure. Thanks, Kimberly, for having me on your podcast. I'm super excited. I'm Yoni. I'm a food photographer. I'm based in Taipei, Taiwan, but I'm actually originally from Brazil.
Amazing. Thank you. And Sumana.
Hey, Kimberly. My name is Sumana. I am an artist and a donut shop owner, and I live in Madrid, Spain.
Great. Caroline, do you want to say hi and tell everybody who you are?
Hi, Kimberly. Hi, everybody. I'm Caroline. I'm a wine educator and I live in Lyon, France.
Amazing. And last but not least, Abby.
Hi, everyone. I'm Abby. I'm a freelance content creator and food blogger, and I live in the United States. I'm just outside of Phoenix, Arizona.
Amazing. Girls, thank you so much. I'm really, really excited to hear a little bit more about what's going on where you live. And Yoni, again, I'd love to start with you. How has this whole COVID-19 crisis, this pandemic, affected your community, especially the foodie community? And, what is it like? Because it started in the Far East and it now seems that you guys are in a completely different place to the rest of the world. But I'd love to hear what's going on and what your day-to-day living is like.
So I guess Taiwan has been kind of living with coronavirus the longest because our government heard about it, found out about it back in December. And because we're not part of the WHO, our government, because of the past experience with SARS, they developed an SOP for in case of another coronavirus appearing.
What does SOP mean?
Oh, sorry, a standard of procedure.
Okay.
So they came up with that so to make sure that this doesn't spread. Mm-hmm. So back in December, I remember before going off for Chinese New Year, beginning of January, I remember like already hearing cases in China. So that was kind of going on. And until now, Taiwan has been pretty good with avoiding it. So just now where I think Taiwan is on its second wave, whereas I think in Europe and the US, you guys are still kind of going through the first wave.
Yeah.
So Taiwan right now, we are not on lockdown yet, but everyone's just taking the last 2 weeks and started last week to kind of take enhanced precautionary measures by ourselves because we had a large influx. We had about 16,000 students or expats that were living abroad that came back to Taiwan.
Yeah.
So everyone's in quarantine, because we blocked our low borders already. So our day-to-day right now is everyone's wearing face masks. Taiwan already from the beginning had installed a face mask rationing system. So actually they even now have an online system for you to order your weekly ration.
Amazing. And in terms of the foodie community, has it been impacted at all? As you guys aren't in lockdown, aren't quarantined, is it business as usual? Are bars, restaurants, is everything open? Has there been an impact felt by creatives and foodies?
Last month, I think mainly the last 3 weeks, it's been a harder impact. You can see the restaurants are much more empty. Mm. They're not really closing down, but even smaller restaurants, like the ones that I like, they're already, you know, asking like, oh, please don't order through the apps because they take a high commission. Please call in and give it on takeaway. So mm-hmm. we can like call in, bring our own usable containers, and they'll give us the food as well.
Amazing.
So they're asking like to support local restaurants. So I do, for example, on my Instagram, do try to at least share those mm-hmm. because I am trying to cook at home, but I do enjoy these and I also want to see them still after this passes.
Of course. Great. Thank you so much, Yoni. Sumaira, can you give us a little bit of a picture? You have a donut store in Madrid.
Yeah.
You've been closed. What's going on? Give us an insight into what life's like in quarantine and how this pandemic has influenced you and the rest of the foodie community.
Yeah. Well, in Madrid, is the epicenter of Spain of the virus. So it's the city in Spain that has been hit the hardest. And I think within Europe, we're like the second country, like Italy is like number one with most cases. And we're the second country and we've been in lockdown now for 2 weeks. And we are in complete lockdown. Like the only thing you can do is go to the supermarket or to the pharmacy or take out your dog. And that's pretty much it. Like, except if you have to go to work or you work at the supermarket, you'd be allowed to do that. But other than that, if you go to the street and you can't justify being outside, you get fined and those kind of things. So here in Madrid, all bars and restaurants and pretty much the entire foodie community is, I'd say 90% of it is shut down. Like nobody's really working. There are some people that are offering delivery, like home delivery. But yeah, everything is pretty much dead, I'd have to say. And for me I own a little vegan donut shop, but I do have 14 people working within that company, so to say. So it was a stressful moment to really, you know, shut down and tell everyone it's like we have to all go home. And I don't know how I can guarantee a future for everyone. Luckily, the government in Spain is trying to support all businesses, especially the small businesses. So we applied for like a subsidy, or I don't know how you call it.
Yeah.
So I can at least, so the state will at least pay my staff while we are closed. And then once we get rolling, I will try and just take everyone back. You know, that's the goal.
Yeah. I'd love to know because, you know, you guys have been in lockdown well before myself. I think even in France and definitely in the US, I think US is just starting lockdown and lots of places aren't. But, you know, one of the concerns a lot of people have is that food's going to run out and there isn't going to be anything. And right now here in the UK, like all food shelves are empty.
Yeah, that was the same here.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about how things are now?
They're pretty much normal. Like I'd say the first few days there was this panic hoarding of toilet paper, like in every country and every city, I think, and buying, I don't know, chips and sweets and things you'd never win the war with any of that, but everybody went and emptied all the shelves. And right now, like, I think they're just, I mean, people still hoard a little bit. So sometimes.
And can you tell us a little bit about like what foods are popular and what foods no one picks up? Because I think that is so interesting.
I mean, I noticed that, I mean, like they pick up a lot of canned stuff, beans and chickpeas but like fresh vegetables, I see them in abundance. Like I was like, why is nobody taking broccoli? This is so delicious. What's wrong? Like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
So like they go for chips, or chips are hard to find, or sweets are hard to find. They are obsessed with cleaning material to clean your house. That's pretty ransacked to this day still. It's hard to find. Not hard to find, but like specific items are hard to find. But other than that, like anything you'd need to really survive and be healthy, I've had no issues finding anything.
Oh, that's so reassuring. Thank you, Sumedha, for sharing your perspective. I'm going to jump in here just for a second to let you know that Sylvia had to join in at this point. We had to make a start without her because of technical difficulties, but she's part of the roundtable discussion, as I mentioned in the beginning, and she's jumping in at this point. Sylvia, are you here?
I am.
Yes. Amazing
work.
No worries. Listen, I'm just so happy you're here. Now, I'm going to link to the interview that I did with you a couple of months ago, but you, like me, live here in the UK, in London, but you have family in Northern Italy. And so I know you've been in regular contact with them. And from contact with them, what is your understanding of where things are at with Italy in terms of food and how people are staying afloat? And can you give us your perspective on how the pandemic has affected Italy and where things are at?
So I think Italy has been hit the worst now, but it's also been the first one, so it's the most far ahead in the process. Food-wise, same thing, but didn't last long. Like, there was like a run for toilet paper. Like,
I don't get it.
I don't get it. We also have bidet, guys. We also have bidet.
Not just that.
I don't understand it either.
Let me just be really gross. All the pasta people are eating, they're constipated, man. Like, who needs so much toilet paper?
That's a good point.
And the same thing, like my parents, they grease food everywhere. It's just the queue that you need to do, of course, because there is a social distancing is very serious.
Amazing.
I haven't seen the seriousness here in UK yet, not in my area. So there is a proper control outside the shop, so you keep 2 meters, 3 meters distance at least, and only few people are allowed inside the shops. So that's what's happening at the moment in terms of food, but everything is available. And where my parents are, it's fine. It's on the coast. They're kind of relaxed. Obviously, they follow all the rules, also because there is police. We have so much police in Italy. So you get fines, very high fines, from few hundred to few thousands. So they're very serious about people following the rules.
Sylvia, I know that you had a lot of concerns about the government here not taking the virus as seriously as you felt necessary. How do you feel now, kind of generally? Do you feel that the world is taking the virus seriously enough, that we're learning from Italy's experience?
I can see around my area that people are still a bit confused, but they are keeping distance. They are doing what they're told to do. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I have a small run in the, like 6 a.m. In the park, and I constantly see beers. I mean, the beans are overflowing with beers and food packages. So I guess people still go for picnics and gatherings. And I guess in London, it's really hard to patrol every single park.
Yeah.
So I'm still a little bit concerned that, because I also, to be honest with you, I was talking to one of my old aunties in Italy. And I tell you, she didn't understood anything about this situation. She didn't understand anything about this situation. She's also taking some medication for arthritis. And she thought she was immune. So you never know what goes into people's mind. Mm-hmm. So I think a little bit of all smothering, I don't know if it's the right word, but the government take a little bit more control.
Yeah,
it would be more appropriate, I think. But this is my view.
Yeah.
And it's complicated.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Caroline, I would love to know how Paris is coping with everything. And you, living in Paris, what's it like?
So I live in Lyon, actually, not Paris. Sorry. That's okay. So Lyon is the second city in France, and it's much smaller. It's in the central part of the country. But basically, it's very similar to Italy and Spain. We've been on lockdown for, is our 11th day now. Yeah. And it's the same thing. You can't really go outside. You get fined. Same thing with the hoarding in the supermarkets. Everyone's trying to make bread, so it's impossible to get flour, which is pretty funny. So everyone's baking. That's what I've noticed at the supermarket. The open air markets, which were such a big part of my life and everybody's life here, finally shut this week. And that really sucks because it was, I don't know. I mean, I'm worried about my farmers, the people that, yes, you know, make my food. In terms of wine, I've texted with some of my producers that I work with, and like, you know, if you're an independent winery, it's you and your brother and your dad doing it. So it's pretty much business as usual. So they seem fine. It's not super stressful, but I imagine that, you know, that will change as the needs of the vineyard change. But right now it's not a super stressful time in the vineyard anyway. Yeah. France is, it's tense. I think it's really hard for French people. And I'm sure it's the same with, you know, Italy and Spain, to not be out socializing. It's such a big part of how life is here, is going and chatting, just chatting and going to the bakery and going to get a coffee. And it's, I think it's a hard adjustment. It feels very sad, you know, and we're right behind Italy and Spain in terms of numbers, but I do feel like the government has been doing a good job at offering relief to small businesses like Sumeras. And I hope that my restaurants that I love will come back, and I think they will. I'm mostly worried about America. I'm American, and so I think most of my anxiety actually is directed across the pond.
You know, it's so interesting, Caroline. I feel the same way. And actually, I would say the Americas. So both the U.S., but also like Brazil and, you know, so actually, Abby, over to you. You're living in the U.S. What is it like? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that, like Yoni said, it's really in its first wave here in the U.S., and it might be sort of similar to what you're seeing there in the U.K., I imagine, depending on where you live here in the States. I'm in Arizona. Our local officials have not been as strict with enacting, like, quarantines or shelter-in-place orders, not like what we're seeing in other states. We're actually, you know, we can go to the grocery store as usual. We can go wherever. We're seeing local businesses and restaurants still open, and they're advertising takeout and delivery, and there's, you know, that option. For my family, we've really been taking this super seriously. We have, I guess this would be like the second week that we've really tried to just kind of be at home as much as possible. I shopped for us last week and just like did a few weeks worth of shopping, just so I didn't have to mainly deal with the lines and everything at the store. Yeah, so that's kind of what life is like these days.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to throw this out and please chip in. We don't have to go by order or anything, but I'd love to know what each one of you is doing to, you know, keep a smile on your face, to pull through and make it through some of the times where you feel a little bit dark and down, because I'm sure we're all feeling that. We're social creatures, we're social beings, and this is a huge change for pretty much all of us. So I'd love to know if you have any tips that you'd like to share with me and the listeners in terms of pulling through when it feels like you can't.
So for me, like, I already had the habit of hiking, so I do try and go hiking. Now I'm trying to hike solo. So I do know some of the trails from Taipei City, and on the weekends I'll go and hike at least for 2-3 hours, and at least that gives me some sun time. And then also it kind of gets me out of my head, because I think we're consuming so much social media more than ever now. Totally. So I was like, I need to not look at a screen. I need to look at something else for a bit, especially because we were looking mostly on our phones, not even a laptop screen anymore.
Yeah.
So another thing that I've been doing recently as well is I've been having as background music is just Buddhist sutras. One that I listen a lot to is the Heart Sutra, just to kind of, you know, uplift a little bit the vibration, I guess, because I think it's not just Taiwan, but the entire world, like where everyone here that I'm talking to is as well. Like, we don't want to get that mood to get even lower. So that's one of the things I was like, okay, just to kind of power through, because I do know, like, it does give anxiety. And I do think of myself as hypersensitive. So I was like, okay, I'm taking this from others. So I maybe have to kind of like transcend it or change it up to something else.
I love that. Thank you. Sorry to be interrupting your podcast experience, but I just wanted to let you know about my free Instagram food photography challenge. You can join for free by heading to thelittleplantation.co.uk/Instagram-photography-challenge. By signing up and pre-registering, you can take part in the challenge. You get free Instagram photography tips, styling tips, and become part of my creative community. I'd love for you to join. Now back to the podcast.
I think with the kids, it's a bit more complicated, but at the same time easier, because they keep living their own lives. So you need to follow along. Mm-hmm. And to be cooking with them and play with them just gave me such a normality feeling. Being in the garden with this gorgeous sun. But meditation, I got twice a day into a very short meditation and calming the mind. I think we need to adapt. So I don't think it's easy to get in this new situation and just acknowledging that we need a little bit of time for adaptation. Relaxed me as well.
Amazing. I love both those tips. Thank you.
I'll chime in. I think for me, just staying positive, well, to stay positive, it's helping me to just know that I'm doing what I can. Like, I can't control any of this. We can't order people to stay in their homes. At least I can't. I just can't do much, but I can do my part and do what I can for my family and keep us home and safe. And that kind of gives us some control back into our hands, I guess. So I think that, you know, through all of this, I haven't really experienced much fear, but there are a lot of other feelings, like, you know, just frustration and, you know, boredom and all of that. And, you know, we have two little kids too. So then I think that's a good point. Just trying to keep, you know, just keeping the normalcy as much as possible is kind of helpful.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, in my case, something I've noticed, which I don't know if this is helpful, but kind of also not putting pressure on myself.
Love it.
Like, expect something during this time of myself. Like, in the beginning, I was really struggling, like, oh, I have to bake and I have to prepare things and I have to do this and I have to, like, keep going. And I think I just had to tell myself, look, if one day you just want to lie in bed and just like be whatever or do nothing, or it's fine, you know? And I was also stressed out about working out. And now it's just like, you don't have to work out. It's okay. Eat ice cream if you want to eat ice cream. Like, I think that's also really important, to not put pressure on yourself that you have to, like, being on top of everything, because who knows how long this is going to take, and just take it day by day. That's been helpful to me.
I love that. And actually, I think it kind of links up to what Yoni said earlier in terms of the time that we spend on our screens. Like, I remember, like, 24 hours after lockdown, all my quote unquote competitors, everyone was coming out with these new courses and releasing these preset packages, and like everyone's going into overdrive. And I was just like, whoa, I've just actually cut my head around what's going on. Like, I can't even think about putting my presets on sale yet, you know? Like, and then you kind of feel like, wait a minute, I got to keep up with the Joneses. If they're doing it, I got to do, you know, like, so I love your suggestions, Samantha, and then link with Yoni's of just stepping away from your screen as well, so you can find your own rhythm. I love that. Thank you. Caroline.
Yeah, that really resonates with me. And it's something that I've really been struggling with. I will be honest, I've been having a really hard time. And you know, I'm a super social person, and I'm also grieving my business. You know, tourism is going to take a long time to come back, and that's what I work in. You know, I do wine tastings for tourists. So it's been really hard. And then, you know, all the noise online of like, lose 10 pounds, learn German, learn the ukulele. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
So not helpful. Yeah.
And so, but I am doing something. I'm doing free virtual wine tastings, which have been really fun and are, you know, actually can really, you've been a big inspiration for me. They're giving me inspiration to eventually develop something online. But, you know, also I am giving myself the space to watch RuPaul in my pajamas if that's love what I need to do.
Yeah,
love it.
And we're watching Schitt's Creek, which is also spectacular and highly recommended.
I like the name. I don't know what it's about, but
it's really
like
funny.
What we're experiencing now, so it's all
it's really funny and it's really lighthearted. So it's a good show to binge, and there's like 5 seasons, so
fantastic. Well, all the things that everyone mentions, I will put in the show notes. So, you know, for those of people listening in, anything mentioned here from music to wine tasting, all of it will be in the show notes. I was going to ask you all, as we, you know, as we're all huge foodies and so on, what you're cooking now. So have your cooking habits changed as there's been items that you cannot find? Is there something that you're cooking that you're finding particularly nourishing or just something really, really uplifting? Anything you're eating or even drinking that you just want the world to know about?
I mean, I'm obsessed. I don't even know if it's important or not, but I'm eating like way more sauerkraut and drinking way more kombucha than I usually do. Like in my mind, I'm like probiotics.
You're definitely my sister. You're definitely my sister, and you've learned.
Okay. So that's something I'm like, at least I'm doing that, and I'm making sure there's like one probiotic by each day in my system somewhere.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I thought this whole food experience, oops, sorry. I felt like this with all everyone, the supermarket hoarding, because I went to the supermarket recently. I was like, okay, let's see how it is. Yeah, it was really funny that in Taiwan, all the instant noodles were gone, but the wine racks were full.
Wow. Definitely so not like, happening in France, that.
Yeah, no, I was like, very different priorities going on.
I love it. I love it. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think like because people, they really want the convenience of just getting a quick meal or just because it's also a country that likes eating noodles and rice. So noodles and rice were gone.
Yeah.
And a lot of the dried canned fish and everything. But for me, because I'm trying to get closer to veganism, I'm currently vegetarian. So it's like, okay, this is a good test of my habits so that I don't have to worry about like cooking, you know, instant noodles. I was like, okay, maybe I can make something else. So last week I went to the farmer's market. I've been buying some fresh veggies. Like, okay, what can I make and pre-freeze at least so that I can have some fresh produce in the house in case we do, if I have to like not go out anymore.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. We've actually been eating really healthy because we keep hoarding vegetables. I'm like, we need fresh vegetables. And my boyfriend bought 2 giant heads of lettuce at the market on Saturday, which was like way more than we need. So we've been eating lots of salad and cabbage, because one cabbage, you know, can feed a family of 16 for 3 weeks. So we've got, I made col canon tonight, which was a wonderful Irish potato and cabbage dish. So that was yummy.
Amazing. What about you, Abby? What are you cooking up?
Yeah, I think in terms of what we're eating and cooking, it hasn't changed much for us. We're pretty much eating the same. A lot of a lot of fresh veggies and things like that. Although right now our fridge is stocked with that, so I haven't really run out yet. One of the things that I am a little bit concerned about is my family goes through a lot of eggs, and I'm a like low carb and ketogenic food blogger, so a lot of the baked goods and a lot of those keto recipes call for several eggs. So I'm just trying to be like more mindful of that and kind of brainstorming like how to make cookies without, you know, how to make keto cookies without eggs. And
you just got to get a chicken.
Right. And yeah, we've had backyard chickens in the past. I'm like, man, I could really use those chickens right about now.
Actually, I've read somewhere that the sale of chickens has gone up.
I believe it.
Yeah, so I don't know what people are going to do after all of this is over. They have to go back to their 9-to-5, but I did read that somewhere. So
that's interesting. Yeah. So just it's forcing us to be a little bit more creative for sure.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sylvia? I'd love to know what you're cooking. And from your Instagram, it looks like you're really going into like exploring zero waste and using every little bit in your cupboards and fridge and freezer.
Yeah. We are quite lucky because to save money and also consume less plastic, we usually buy in bulk. Mm-hmm. So have a huge amount of rice, oats, barley, and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to just take this chance to clean up the cupboards. Mm-hmm. But vegetables, there is, it's not easy to find fresh vegetables for me here. Mm-hmm. Unless I go to a quite far supermarket and my online orders are suffering. So I just receive a fraction of what I order. They cannot keep up. I don't know why people order so much that we cannot all have the food like usual. Mm. And even the cat, I don't have any more cat food.
Oh my God.
So I'm doing a lot of soups. So soups with a lot of ingredients so I can finish up all the tiny leftovers. I can mix up ingredients together and pies with all the bits. Like I have a little bit of rye flour I never use. I have a little bit of that flour and I put everything together and I try to clean up the cupboards and be sure there's nothing that goes wasted, basically.
Yeah.
So it just brought me back, I think, to nicer and more sustainable habit.
Like I feel in terms of for my cooking, in a way, like that has been the silver lining of this experience. I feel I'm being much more mindful and I'm planning more and I just have more time. I don't feel I'm so rushed. And that has felt really, really wonderful. And actually, you know, something you mentioned, Sylvia, like I'm spending so much more time cooking with my son. He's getting involved in the process so much more. We just did a sourdough starter. Like it's been, if it weren't for the fact that it's all very traumatic and, you know, this has been the silver lining, this kind of slowing down and being more mindful and eating more mindfully and exploring recipes that I normally wouldn't and using up old things. And it's been really, for me, it's been a joy. It's been a joy spending time in the kitchen.
Totally. And also relating to what you said before, I slowed down on Instagram and on my work. I still have to shoot for clients, but I felt this rush, oh, I need to, you know, produce something for Instagram, or maybe I need to produce some resources for this time. And then I realized I just needed to slow down and take a big breath and stop trying to be productive and just be present in the moment. Eating more the food I have in the fridge without having to run and buy something more, something extra. Something very grounding, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that word, grounding. It does feel grounding to make do what you have and appreciate it. But looking ahead for when this is all over, because it will be over and we will move through it and there is light at the end of the tunnel, far away as it might seem today, but I'd love to know, what is the first meal that you would love to eat? What are you craving? What are you missing? What is the first thing you're going to do when the doors open, when the virus has been extinguished and we can go back to a new normal, a brand new normal, a brand new day? What is it that you'd love to eat when that happens? Caroline, I heard you say something, so I'm going to start with you because it sounded like you already know exactly what you want to eat.
Oh, there's so many options. Honestly, I want to get one of the best pastries in the entire world, which is a coffee and speculoos like roll thing from a bakery around the corner for me, and go have a good latte made by a hipster with a mustache. you know, that's really where I'm at.
Sounds delicious. Yoni.
I don't know. I think it's because we talked about donuts. So right now I'm a little bit craving donuts, but also I would really want to go to one of the Indian restaurants that they have here and have some palak paneer.
What about you, Sumera?
I'd actually also love to eat one of my own donuts, which I can't eat.
But any particular flavor that you'd want to go for?
Dark chocolate with smoked salt and pistachio is my favorite.
So you're gonna send me one of those.
I will.
Me too.
Sylvia.
I want that donut now. I'm gonna shock probably everybody, but I cannot find enough fresh greens, so I want a fresh green juice.
Nice. That's what your body's calling for. That's, you know, that's how cravings come. It's something that our body really wants. So I love that.
Yeah. And I think my juice is very like no sweet at all. So I just want a lot of vegetables.
Abby, last but not least.
I feel like I have two answers to this question. I am really craving sushi right now and don't have anything to make sushi with. But then at the same time, I feel like all of this, I've just been like, I don't know if it's like stress eating or just in a major snacking mood, but I'm totally craving like sweets and cookies all the time. Amazing. I don't know if anyone else has felt the same way.
But, oh yeah, we're baking a lot and we're eating it.
Yeah, just like being home and, you know, just doing a lot of the distracted baking. I'm definitely craving cookies.
I do wonder though if that's going to settle, like because
you know,
I mean, depending how long this goes on for, of course. But I have noticed there's a lot of baking happening on Instagram, and I kind of wonder if it's just a gut instinct response to this, and that there will be a time where everyone's like, wait a minute, I can't live off chocolate chip cookies.
Makes right, true.
Wrappers. I wonder if that's going to. Now things are gonna settle and sorry. For me, actually, it's pizza. Like I'm rubbish at making any sort of bread. We're gonna try our bestest, but there's this amazing sourdough pizza place not far from where I live. I'd kill for a sourdough pizza, but they're closed. So anyways, girls, thank you so much for your time. Stay safe and really, really delighted to have been chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly.
Can you relate to the things we talked about? Are your experiences similar? Are you craving the same sort of foods? And what are you cooking? I would love to know. Please drop me a DM on Instagram where I am at The Little Plantation. I'd love to hear from you. But also, you would make my day if you stop by either Abby's, Caroline's, Yoni's, Sumedha, or Sylvia's Instagram. I have popped their Instagram handles in the show notes. I know they would love to hear from you. They would love it if you gave them a follow, if you tried out their wine tasting, visited their blog. I know it would mean so, so much. Again, a reminder, for me, it'd be so helpful if you share this episode, if you found it helpful, if you think that someone else out there might find it helpful too. Now, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that when I run a season, I release an episode religiously once a week. With a pandemic as it is, with every day changing, with me homeschooling and just wrapping my head around what's going on, I don't want to promise that I'll be able to achieve that. I will do my best for sure, but what I would recommend is that you subscribe to the podcast in your podcast app so that you don't miss a single episode, even if it comes and goes and maybe there's an episode one week and then there isn't one the next and then I come back with two. By subscribing, you can be sure you don't miss anything. Alternatively, if you listen to the podcast on the website, the best thing to do is subscribe to the newsletter so you get notified when a new podcast episode comes out. I am sharing lots of things around quarantine cooking and zero waste cooking and all the things that I hope are going to be helpful on the blog. I will link to one or two bits in the show notes. And again, if you follow me here or on Instagram where I have a little highlight called TLP at Home, you can get all my quarantine cooking tips there too. I think that's it. Gonna move you into the outro and hopefully be back in your earbuds next week. Stay safe, everybody. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my free creative community, the Eat, Capture, Share Creative Community on Facebook, formerly known as the Food Photo Insta Creative Community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.